Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
It'll come down to Cairo Santos from 51 yards. Scott Daly, the snapper. Torrey Taylor, the holder. Good snap. Good hold. The kick on the way by Santos. Losing streak comes to an end on the final play of the regular season as Chicago comes to Lambeau and upsets the Packers 24-22.
Highlights courtesy of Fox Sports. And yes, believe it or not, the Chicago Bears get a win in their final game. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers. And the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, Sandy Mazur, alongside the fellas. And, you know, it looks at times like neither team wanted to win this game, to be honest with you. The Bears did some really stupid things, but were bailed out at the end with a nice drive to set up that field goal.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, what a bizarre and fitting end to a bizarre year for the Chicago Bears. And folks, you know, look. The great Ed Obradovich and I, we're as happy as anybody could be that finally the losing streak is over. By the way, we're undefeated in 2025.
Yes, we are.
Don't forget that.
Let's keep that going, right?
Yeah, just keep that a brand new streak.
Keep
in a brand new year. But all this being said, we're going to celebrate and clap for a little bit, but there's a lot of things that have to be discussed this one final time on the postgame.
You know, I told you, and congratulations to the Bears. They won, and they broke. My God, this would have been 11 straight, and I think that would have been a Bear record, if I'm correct.
Yeah, they've never lost more than 10 in a row in a single season. The 14-game losing streak last year went over two seasons.
Right, exactly. So congratulations for for not letting that happen. But again, where do we start out? It's every game. It's the same thing. Where do we start out offensively? In the first quarter, 0 points. You know what our total offense was, folks, in the first quarter of this game? Minus 4 yards. That was our offense. Those are the millionaire players that we have out there that we're counting on to take us to a Super Bowl championship, a world championship. Let me say that again. In the first quarter, 0 points, minus 4 yards total. Folks, I know we won, and it's great. And again, we finally snapped that losing streak here, getting killed here in the back half of this season. But, boy, there are some things that just hold true here, and they're not good. They're ugly stats. Very, very ugly stats.
You know, Andy, before we get too far into the weeds mm-hmm. here, you know, and by the way, folks, there's been some major developments on the potential coaching hire. New England won today. New England beat Buffalo. Yeah, well, they beat Buffalo with Trubisky playing quarterback. But all that being said, they fired Jared Mayo. Now, that tells me, guess what? Not only do we, or I specifically, I have been saying the words Mike Vrabel for the last 5 weeks. Of course, we haven't done anything to get him in here, talk to him. We heard on the pregame that Ryan Poles has got a full docket tomorrow, getting ready and prepared to talk to Thomas Brown, the same genius that engineered this this last 5 weeks of misery.
He sees Thomas Brown every day.
He eats lunch with him. He had breakfast with him this morning. But all that being said, them firing Jared Mayo after 1 year.
1 year.
And after winning five games.
Yeah.
He won five games.
He did.
And they let him go. Why? You know why? I know why. Unfortunately, now we have to look across the lake at the Detroit Lions, who we're going to see here in about an hour and a half.
Yeah, and you know the fact is that he was the hand-picked selection by Bill Belichick when he left Jared Mayo. I mean, that carried some weight a little bit with him having that getting that job. And now he's gone after 1 year.
Yeah.
Well, my play on that was different. That was Robert Kraft, the owner.
Yeah, yeah.
The owner thought, "Oh, I'm going to be bold and make this this amazing, selection," and it blew up in his face. But all that being said, back to the Bears. OB, you know, and I know that how fortuitous was this Chicago Bear team today? Play after play, different things. The DJ Moore, who normally is pretty, he fumbles the ball. They kick a field goal to take the lead, and we botch the our chance at going for two. We line up on the 2.5 yard line going for two. We get a penalty. Now it's at the 1.25, and then we opt to kick. You can't make this stuff up.
Well, Danny, this game.
It was a clown show.
If there's anything that can tell you about coaching, okay, about an organization, if there's anything that can tell you, you just saw today in the final game. We won the game. Again, congratulations. But my Lord God Almighty, you play this game, every play, every second, everything counts, and there's only one reason why you play it, and I've said it a million times, and that's to be a world champion. There's nothing else. Nothing else. And by the way, Andy and mm-hmm. Dan, just before we go, what I'd like to say to our listeners, thank you for your patience, for waiting for us to come on, and I just want to say, Dan and I, we have nothing to do with scheduling here. My phones have been bombarded. Dan has been bombarded. What's going on? What's this? What's that? Folks, Dan and I, we have nothing to do with scheduling here, and we appreciate you listening and staying with us, and thank you so very, very much.
All year long,
yeah. We appreciate all of our callers and our
listeners.
They've been great all year. Let's get to our Epical Performance. It is sponsored by Epical, revolutionizing beverage hydration with a pickle twist and rapid hydration. You guys mentioned DJ Moore, and today, 9 catches, 86 yards. He caught a 32-yard touchdown pass as well. And was all over the field here today, and he's getting the Epical Performance.
Yeah, and look, moving forward, there's going to be some guys that we don't need off of this roster, looking forward to.
There's a ton of them, Dan.
Yeah, there's a bunch. But DJ Moore has proven that he is a bona fide great player. And is he, a perennial Pro Bowler? No, but he is someone that we need to have moving forward today. He showed his value despite that costly fumble and, things like that happen.
He needs an attitude adjustment, Dan.
He does.
In my book, you don't walk off the field of play during an actual play and you don't like what's called and what's going on and you walk off the field? That's inexcusable to me, Dan. Somebody's got to sit him down and read the riot act to him. And if he doesn't like, then ship him out. It's enough already with these guys doing whatever the hell they think they can do on the football field, what they think they can do at practice. It's enough already. There's got to be a total philosophy change here. And my God, the first philosophy, the first word is winning. Not this foolishness that these players are getting away with. And they've been getting away with it, Danny.
Couldn't have said it better.
Yeah, they have. And we'll get much more into the weeds with the coaching situations and some potential candidates that Ryan Poles may bring in after his exhausting day tomorrow with Thomas Brown. I think that whole thing is ridiculous since there was an interview process going on the last 5 weeks, right? I mean, and what he did as a coach of this team should have been the interview.
Well, what better illustration of your talents than what you could actually bring and manifest over the course of the last 8 weeks of the season and 5 as the interim head coach? It took Jordan Love wimping out with some kind of a phony elbow issue to bring Malik Willis on, and obviously, that was not the Green Bay Packer team that everybody expected to see going into the playoffs.
All right, 312-981-7200. That's our phone number. Please give us a call. Our final post-game show of the year after the Bears win it 24-22. We're going to take a timeout here.
Bears are going to win. Write it down. Bears will beat Green Bay.
Oh, I wrote
Bay.
It down. All right.
I'm not giving scores. I never did
it's
that.
Okay. You don't have to give a score. As long as the Bears have one more point than the Packers at the very end of the game,
that's going to happen.
They're going to win. Hammond will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. That voice you heard was
Pretty
Wendy Snyder.
Cool,
she, I tell you what, she
buy
had
some lotto tickets.
She had a feeling, I'm telling you, the other day.
Wendy, she's terrific.
She was sitting in the morning show for Bob Surratt, and we got into this conversation about the Bears, and we were just talking about the last game of the year, and she said she had a feeling that the Bears were going to win. And I, of course, with my beautiful prognostication, saying if you score one more point than them, you win.
Yep.
They scored two, just,
yep,
you know, for the heck of it.
And you know what? At some point, there has to be kind of a semblance of harmony in the universe, because we lost to them, you know, 5 weeks ago here by a blocked kick on the final play of the game. Today in Green Bay, to break the 10-game losing streak, there was no block, and Cairo Santos made it.
A little redemption for him. I know that after the game, he was very thankful for the opportunity to kind of right the wrong from a few weeks ago. And that kick sailed through the uprights with time expiring. 24-22 was the final.
Danny and Andy and to our listeners, the only thing that bothers me, we won the football game, okay? And where we stack throughout the league? Where do we rank offensively? And obviously, if there is one problem that just jumps out at you, leaps at you, it's our offense. It's everything about our offense. Our quarterback, our receivers, our offensive line, and our coaching, our offensive coaches. And going into this game, folks, and nothing really changed what happened today. The only thing that changed, we scored more points than the opponent. We got the win. Congratulations. But here's where we stack going into this game, folks. This is 16 games going into this game. Where do we rank? Points per game, we rank 29th. Net yards per game, 32nd, dead last. Net rushing yards per game, 25th. Net passing yards per game, 29th. Scrimmage yards per play, 32nd, dead last. Sacks allowed, 32nd, dead last. Third down, the most important down in this game. Third down percentage, where do we rank? 31st, one from being dead last. I saw nothing change there today. I saw nothing. And if we're going to be contenders instead of pretenders, we have all those stats that I just gave you. That has to change, folks. It has to change. And it has to change with a new head coach and an entire new offensive position coaches and coordinators. This madness here has got to stop. Game after game, year after year, that's all we do. We get pounded. That's what happens. And we win this game, and like everybody's happy and wonderful. My God, we're 5-12, okay? 5-12. And these stats don't lie, Dan.
How well do the Bears protect the pocket? Sponsored by the Protect and Grow Retirement Plan by TJ Stearns. Always protecting your pocket. Call them at 800-640-2256. Only one sack allowed today.
Vastly improved from the last matchup with the Green Bay Packers. And again, Andy, after about eight plays of the game, I said, Green Bay doesn't want to play.
No, they didn't look like they wanted to be
Jordan
there.
Jordan Love couldn't wait to come up with some kind of fake injury to get out of the game. So all that being said, you only play who's on the field, and we did a better job of protecting the quarterback. But it doesn't change the fact that OB had, you know, those numbers.
Yep.
We're dead last
in
everything.
We're basically everything, Dan. And again, you got to start out. You start the game. You got to be ready to go from the get-go. You got to set the standard from the first play, offensive play or defensive play, no matter which one it is. You've got to be ready to go. And our first quarter, the entire first quarter, our total yardage running and passing is -4 yards. That's what happened out there today, folks. Again, a stat that is absolutely unbelievable. And who does it? We do, the Chicago Bears. We keep putting these stupid numbers up. And I tell you what, there's a point where enough is enough. and the changes have to be made. And for Warren or Poles to say they're going to meet with Brown tomorrow, Warren, Poles, you see him every day. You see him every day. And that's your big announcement today? You're going to meet with him tomorrow? You guys are embarrassing.
312-981-7200, the number. Bears win at 24-22 over the Green Bay Packers. Let's start things out in Aurora. We had a Jim. Jim, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Yes, Dan, you've alluded to it a little bit already with Vrabel as your guy, but I want both of your guys' gut feeling. Will they take one of the top three candidates, which seems to be Vrabel, Kingsbury, or Johnson, or do they do what they usually do? And when they announce it, everybody says, who is this guy? Because they try to be the smartest guy in the room. And what do you think, if they do go a different route, about either Ron Rivera or Rex Ryan?
All right, Jim, thanks for the call. We'll let those guys react to you.
Wow. Go ahead, Abe.
Well, I was going to, Jim, I'm going to tell you what. Those are two good names, okay? And the other names that were mentioned, those are the candidates. And I'm in, with Dan Hampton, Mike Vrabel. I believe he, and what he reminds me of is Dan Campbell, the head coach at Detroit. Dan Campbell came in and changed the entire philosophy. Tired the whole thing from A to Z, the way you look at football, the way you think about football, and the way you're going to play football for me. Okay? And that's what we need. And who could do it? Vrabel could do it, Danny. And the only other name I would put in there is Cliff Kingsbury. But I hope they interview Vrabel. He is the man. That's what I believe, Dan.
Okay. You know what? And again, this is just like, an NFL draft. You got like first round players, second round. Well, my first round would be Vrabel. And then Ben Johnson, and then second round would be Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator at the Washington Commanders, and was the coordinator at USC with Caleb Williams. Then there's a drop-off. I think the next guy would be Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator in Minnesota. And then Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator at Baltimore. But, you know, all four of those you can't talk to until the championship game weekend, correct?
Correct.
So 2 more weeks till you can talk to them. But Vrabel,
you can.
You could have talked to him for the last 2 weeks.
5 weeks ago, you could have talked to him.
And we haven't even talked to him. And then now we talked about the New England firing, which to me, and I'm watching here out of the corner of my eye, we know that the Raiders are probably going to make a move, and that means that Tom Brady, who is now a 10% owner, is probably going to be the de facto, you know, man in charge, because we know that Al Davis' son has been inept. So who do you think Tom Brady wants? Yeah, Mike Vrabel,
yeah.
You know, he won 3 Super Bowls with Mike Vrabel. They're great buddies. It makes perfect sense. We needed to make inroads. We needed to start making overtures to Mike Vrabel 2 weeks ago. And, of course, we're worried about having breakfast with, you know, our offensive coordinator.
What I'm worried about, Dan, and I think what you're worried about is who's going to pick the next head coach here? Warren and Poles? Warren and Poles. You mean to tell me we got to rely on those two gentlemen, those two people, to go out and find a head coach to coach the Chicago Bears? That's a little disappointing, Dan.
We got to get to a break, but that is the topic du jour soon as we come back.
All right, if you're on hold, please stay there. 312-981-7200. More about the coaching situation coming up in just a few.
It's Moore, flips to Allen. He wants to throw. To the sideline, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Xavier McKinney. His 8th pick of the year. And then he drops the football, and it's covered up by Green Bay.
Highlights courtesy of Fox Sports. That leads us right into what play do the Bears need to scrap. Sponsored by Elgin Recycling, where you'll get top dollar for all your scrap metal. That was pretty horrible. And today, it looked as though Thomas Brown had maybe two plays in his playbook, and they all included a screen pass again.
And this insane reverse pass that Keenan Allen threw up for an interception. Hey, look, we're never going to have to see that play again. We're going to scrap it, and we're going to scrap him. He's out of here, too.
That falls under when they pull things like that. They haven't learned yet. The stupid offensive lineman coming in and making him a running back. My God.
Yeah.
What in the
speed option into the sideline?
Professional football is this? These, who are these people coaching the Chicago Bears? When you put these plays in, what do you think's going to happen? It's going to blow up in your face, and it already has happened. And guess what? Last game of the year, you come back with another imbecilic play, and what happened? It blew up in your face again. My God, somebody in that Barrett, get rid of these people. Get rid of them.
Which is the problem we alluded to at the end of last segment. The people that's going to make the decision on who not only to get rid of,
scary,
but who to come in, are the same ones that brought these people in. Folks, I'm telling you, I beg you. I don't know, Facebook, blah, blah, blah. Ryan Poles needs to be given his walking papers. Ryan Poles has been a big part of the deciding factor on all of these coaches and all of this nonsense.
One offensive line coach after another. And you know what all of them know or have ever thought about this game? Nothing. And this guy brings these people in one after the other after the other. And we bring in players that cannot play in this league, folks. And I'm telling you, they can't play in this league.
Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. All right, we're going to go kind of quickly through these phone calls because everybody wants to talk about the coaching situation. So we'll get to as many of these as we possibly can. We'll start in Evanston with Maurice. You're up with Happen will be. Go ahead, Maurice.
I think that would be Marcy, Andy.
Okay, Marcy, that's I got to blame Sammy for that. So, Marcy, my apologies. We'll go slap Sammy around a little bit after your call.
Perfect.
Go ahead.
You guys make my game days. All three of you, I love it. Anyway, I remember OB asking if we could send Eberflus back to Indianapolis before he got fired. The Chiefs did take Nagy back, so maybe we can also send Brian Poles back to the Chiefs if we can find a receipt.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
In a related story, dear, there was word that someone was visiting Packer camp, was on the sideline this week. Who was it, Andy?
It was Luke Getsy.
There you go. Can you believe it? I mean, the people that have decided, the deciders, these people, look at where they have led us. We've got to get new deciders. I mean, that's before we get a new, you know, head coach and offensive coordinator. We need to make sure we got the right people deciding who's going to be the new head coach.
All right, next up out in Addison, we say hi to Tony. Tony, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Yeah. I haven't called a show in a while, but before I make it my head coaching suggestion, I want to say I'm the same. I haven't called in a few years, but when John Shoup was offensive coordinator about a few some years ago, like back in the early 2000s, Doug Buffon on a different radio station was saying this Bears offense is designed not to score. So I just wanted to say that, you know, because it's been a while since I called. But anyway, I'm the same caller. I don't know if you remember me.
It still applies.
Tony.
I wanted to say that real fast. But my head coaching suggestion, he used to coach the 49ers. The only coaching job he had was Mike Singletary. I'm sure you know who he is. He was the coach of the 49ers. What about that guy? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, he couldn't be any worse than what's been here. At least Mike had played without a world championship team and probably the greatest team that was ever put together. And Mike is a no-nonsense guy. That I know about him. I don't know a lot about Mike, but that I do know. And he wouldn't put up with by the way, he wouldn't put up with the shenanigans that these players on this team are getting away with on the field of play and at practice. Okay? That would never happen under Mike Singletary.
This week, my buddy Dave Wonstadt and I were doing a podcast, and he said, look, it wasn't long ago before, you know, you had a group of coaches that would be the inevitable, you know, selections to become head coach. They had to be a part of a Super Bowl championship. The coordinator on defense, the offensive coordinator, or the AFC champion. So there has to be a body of work that shows that you have excelled. Unfortunately, Mike, my dear teammate, hasn't got that. Now, if he was to get back into football and go through a position coach for a year or two, maybe a coordinator for a year, then he would be eligible to be in this conversation. But until that happens, you can't believe, you know, just, oh, the guy's a great, you know, great leader, Hall of Fame player, that he could become that coach. You got to see it. The proof has got to be in the pudding.
Singletary would never put up this imbecilic stuff that's going on with these players. Not for one
New
York minute.
You wouldn't put up with it for 1 second.
All right, well, right along with what you're talking about, Hamp, let's go out to Aurora and say hi to Tracy. Tracy, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Hi, Hamp. Hi, OB. I really love your show.
Thank you, dear.
Hey, I was wondering, what were your thoughts? I was thinking maybe Pete Carroll could be the head coach of the Bears. What do you think about that?
Okay, and OB, here's the thing. Unfortunately, the age has to be mentioned. He's 73. How much do you want to go down the road with him at 75, 77? Who knows? I'm just saying, you could do a hell of a lot worse. He was the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks for 14 years. He had him in the playoffs 10 years, and two of those 10 years, he went to the Super Bowl winning one of them. Should have won two, but he got a little bit cute with the play calling.
Tracy, what I would do, I would bring him in as a consultant. I would bring him in, sit him down, and ask him these questions of what does he think?
Great
what
idea.
Do you think that we need offensively and defensively? What do we need to do to be a world champion? And I'm pretty sure he's got a few good answers. I'll take that back. I'm sure he's got the correct answers. So that's what I would do with him. Make him a head coach, no, but I would bring him in as a consultant and listen to what he had to say.
But don't discount him going. Look, all of these jobs are going to be slotted and filled. Think about Jacksonville, the New Orleans Saints. He may get a head coaching job yet.
That may be true.
And especially if there's a young, bright coordinator that is on that staff that he could keep and could groom as the next head coach, you could see that kind of happening.
Hey, folks, guess what? Unfortunately, he decided on Shane Waldron, and guess what? He got his butt fired because of it. So you got to look at it all. All of this has to be looked at.
312-981-7200. If you're on hold, please stay there. We have to take a time out here. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Chevy dealers, Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game.
Willis wants to throw. He's blasted by Byard. The ball is out, and it's scooped up by Chicago. TJ Edwards with the recovery as Kevin Byard dislodges the football from Malik Willis.
And Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We've been talking about Kevin Byard all year. He has been one of the very few bright spots in that secondary. 14 tackles today.
Well, yeah, Jalen Johnson was voted into the Pro Bowl. But if I had to take one guy of the Chicago Bear defense that laid it on the line week after week this year, it was Kevin Byard. And that may be the only good thing Ryan Poles has done the last year.
Let me tell you something about him, Byard. Folks, he plays almost 100% of the plays. Let me say that again. He plays almost 100. I think he plays like 98% or 99% of the plays. Now, which brings me to Sweat, the all-world nothing that we have here at defensive end. Our opponents had 65 plays today. How many plays do you think this guy was in again? From week to week to week, he was in 34 plays. He missed 31 plays almost half the game, and he made $1,500,000 today. He not out there with his teammates. How would you not want to be out there with your teammates? This guy relishes walking off the field. Start the game today, the first set of defensive downs, he was in the first play. The second down, after the second down, he walked off the field and a replacement came in. That's what happened. 31 plays he missed, almost half the game today. Folks, you, I'm telling you, these Warren, Poles, you guys, they've got to go. George, they've got to go.
And by contrast, Byard played all 65 today.
That's what I said about that kid. He's terrific. Yeah. Why wouldn't you want to be out there with your teammates? You walk off the field and stand on the sidelines like you're some whatever? It's embarrassing.
It's sinful. I'm sorry. To a football player like Ed Obradovich, to me, to anybody I played with, they would look at you with disdain and say, what kind of a loser are you?
Danny, all the players that I played with, they wanted to be out on the football field. And I told you the story of Richie Pettibone. We had to take a timeout. He would not go off the field. He was hurt. And he stayed in and we protected him. But he wouldn't go off the field. You talk about dedication. Those are the guys you need to be a world champion. Sweat you do not need. He's in there basically half the games, folks. I cannot tell you how disgusting that is as I see the game and as Dan sees it. It's ridiculous.
All right, let's get to more calls here. Let's go out to Joliet and welcome in Jerry. Jerry, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to kind of miss you guys in the offseason, but today's results made it a little more palatable. I'm going to apply for the defensive coordinator's position because I think he really helped. They're going to run the ball deer about 70% of the time. And guess what? They kept rushing four and leaving seven back. I'm going, why aren't they putting five and six on the line to stop the run? You guys are defensive players, so maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong.
Sorry, Jerry, we lost you there.
Well, I mean, obviously, Eric Washington hasn't done anything to make you think he's a defensive coordinator. You know, obviously, what is the common denominator when you lose two games, three games, five games, eight games, 10 games in a row? You've got a bunch of inept coaching. Because sooner or later, you know, some players are going to make some plays, but only inept coaching could prolong a losing streak like that, OB.
Dan, I said last week, and Jerry last week, this is not a smart team. From A to Z, the front office, management, and head coach and coaches, this is not a smart team. And not in anybody's stretch of anybody's imagination. That's why you see what you see from play to play, quarter to quarter, and game after game, getting our backside handed to us, and we're not making the adjustments mentally and physically. We just aren't. We're not a smart football team. We are not.
All right, back to the calls. Let's go out and say hi to Dominic. Dominic, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Great talking to you. Here's the problem we have. This team, this whole organization makes bad decisions. Here's my gut decision. They're keeping this guy we've had for the last 5 weeks as their head coach. If you can't tell that these guys can't pick talent, then we all have problems because they're the worst at picking any talent. That's all I got to say. And you guys have a great year and a great offseason.
Thanks, Dominic.
OB, I mean, I can't even address that. I mean, that what you said, Dominic, is preposterous. To be dead last in every damn category of offensive measure, and we're going to keep him? OB.
Well, it's I'm lost, okay? I'm not lost, but what I have to say, I don't want to say.
I hear you on that.
Thank you.
312-981-7200. Try to get one more in here before our bottom of the hour break. We'll go out to Elmhurst and say hi to Ron. Ron, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, it's Rob. Guys, great to talk to you once again. I constantly brag about your postgame to everybody. So the thing that I'm wondering, I'm glad to hear that you guys finally said Poles needs to go. Well, in my opinion, why stop there? Evan Warren didn't do anything at the worst of it with Eberflus. And it's like Poles says, oh, I'm going to fix the O-line first. That's still not done. And it seems like Warren's more including in regards to the stadium versus taking care of the team like he should be.
Well, I mean, you made such a salient point that Ryan Poles, being an ex-offensive lineman, realizes, oh, I got to fix the offensive line. Is it fixed? It's like, you know, oh, the border's closed. You got to be an idiot to think the offensive line is fixed. Did I see 27 different combinations today over the course of 17 weeks? That should get you fired right there. Now, as far as Kevin Warren, you know and I know, OB, that supposedly he was the guy that got Minnesota's Viking ship stadium built. So he was going to be the guy to come in here riding on his white horse, and boom, everybody's going to go, here, build your stadium. Well, guess what? It's been almost 2 years. Nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. And in fact, it's gotten worse, Andy.
Yeah, it has.
It's gotten a lot worse with a lot of issues with the taxes and the Friends of the Park, all these different things. So why is he here? He doesn't know a damn thing about football. And by the way, Kevin Warren last year was the main reason why the Chargers are going to the playoffs this year and we're not. Because he did not even make the courtesy call to see if Jim Harbaugh would be interested in coming to be the Chicago Bear head coach. You know why? Because he was sideways with him from being the Big Ten commissioner and they didn't get along. So you tell me, why does he have to stay?
All right, we'll get to the more calls coming up in just a minute here. We got a break for the news, but I want to bring this point up that somebody out there on social media posted today. With the victory today, Thomas Brown gets against the Packers. Matt Eberflus remains the only, and I mean the only, Chicago Bears head coach never to beat Green Bay.
Well,
it's pretty impressive. I mean, after 105 years of football, he's the only guy that had not had a win.
Well, yep, you can cut it a lot of different ways, and yep. You made a great point. Hey, folks, by the way, you know, we could talk this coordinator. Watch the game tonight. Ben Johnson against Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Vikings. Two of the most brilliant offensive play-calling minds in the game head-to-head tonight.
Let me jump in quickly.
Yep.
I'm going to make this statement right now. Ben Johnson, who is the offensive coordinator, folks, for the Detroit Lions, and he is AAA plus. Exactly. Believe me, AAA. Dan thinks he will not be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. He will not come here. He will refuse. If it was offered, he will refuse to take this job. Mark my words, he will not come here.
All right, some interesting things about Kevin O'Connell as well that I have been reading, and I want to get your thoughts about as well. And we'll take more of your phone calls at 312-981-7200 when we get back. Bears win the football game today, 24-22 over the Green Bay Packers. We'll take a timeout for the news. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Highland to punt it away. Cleaner operation this time, trying to pin everybody deep, and it's fielded on the far sideline. It's Blackwell, a little bit of trickery in the special teams game, and Blackwell is going to take it all the way for a Chicago touchdown. 94-yard return, his first career punt return touchdown, and the Bears take a 6-0 lead.
Highlights courtesy Fox Sports. A little trickeration there on the return from Josh Blackwell. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Bears win the football game today, 24-22, and in the process, they dropped one spot in the draft order. They were number 9 coming in, and now they are number 10 going into the 2025 draft. And if you're trying to build on the offensive line, there's one guy in particular, the tackle out of LSU, Will Campbell. I'm not sure he gets to 10 at that point, but, well, that's something to talk about in April.
He would be a fantastic addition, and let's hope that he lasts that long.
All right, let's head back out to the fans who are definitely all geeked up about what the Bears may do as far as the head coaching spot. Let's go out to Plainfield and say hi to Tom. Tom, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Love your program. Listened to it for years and years.
Thank you.
I just was wondering if you think I'm crazy, because I love John Gruden. I would love to see him and his politically incorrect stance on things. And I think OB would love him.
Well, I'll be the first one to tell you that, he has the pelts on the wall. He won a Super Bowl. And he has kind of put himself in a no man's land as far as, you know, being a head coaching candidate. But there has been some whispers about John Gruden. But he would be a guy, you know, for the, you know, you know the Raiders. I don't think the McKeskeys want any part of the fact that he's got some dirty laundry, you know, that, you know, he's got to deal with.
I'll tell you the one thing about him, though. He would not put up with the nonsense.
And, no, he wouldn't.
And I'm going to tell you what, folks. Your listeners out there, whoever they hire here as a coach, you got to know football from ABCs and on, and who you're hiring, whatever have you. But boy, you better have your finger on these players, because there's a culture here on this team, offensively and defensively, that these people can say, walk, talk, do anything they want during a game, in practice, whatever. Nothing happens. That has to stop. Immediately. And whoever comes in here has to put his foot down, slam it down, and stop this idiocy that's going on with this team.
Let's get to our game-changing moment, Mueller Auto Group game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Maryville. That final drive that set up the field goal was our choice here for the game-changing moment. And I did a little facting and figuring, and I hope my math is correct here, but Caleb Williams was 3 of 4 for 45 yards. He did take his only sack on that drive.
Yeah, and it was a 47-yard drive to put us in position to kick the field goal to win the game. So, yes, and who would have thought, who would have thunk that that would have happened? Well, by goodness, it happened, and kudos to him.
You know what? I really don't give a damn about that. All right, that's at the end of the game. What are we talking about with this kid? Nothing happens. In the first 30 minutes of football, the first two quarters, we go backwards. And the only time when a passing happens is late in the third quarter and then the fourth quarter, when we're down at halftime, 24 to nothing, 16 to nothing, 30-something to nothing. It goes on and on. And then when he finally shows up, the game, set, and match, it's over with. Why isn't he doing this from the get-go? From this first set of offensive downs all year, he has never done it. Again, today, the first quarter, did he show up? You know how many total yards we had, folks, running and passing the first quarter against the Packers? -4. Now, I'm sick and tired of hearing about this kid. Whoa, yeah, he could be passed three times. He passed for over 300 yards. That's in the second half. What has we done in the first quarter? What have we done in the second quarter to set the tone, to set the way the game should be run and played? We do nothing. We get our backside handed to us.
312-981-7200. Back out to the fans, and we'll go out to Elmer, Cincinnati. Mick. Mick, you're up in Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to let OB, I totally agree with you that Ben Johnson is not going to be the next Bears head coach one reason. He's too smart to get involved in that kind of a train wreck organization. And that's my question. What coach out there that's worth his salt and can win is going to get himself involved with the McCaskies, with Warren, with Poles, and Poles' terrible picks and moves? Who's going to do that?
Dan, you want to take that one? Because I don't know. Anybody who's got half a brain in his head, you're gonna walk into this hornet's nest?
Again, you have to look at it as the total football operation. And there has to be changes, and that's why we've been saying Ryan Poles needs to be extracted from any decision. Kevin Warren then would become, you know, the point man. Do you want that? I don't want that. And maybe you're exactly correct, because I don't think they're going to get rid of Kevin Warren tomorrow. I don't even think they're going to get rid of Ryan Poles. But how can you keep him and allow him to make the decisions after the multitude of bad decisions that we've seen him make?
Well, there's a couple of people that have been mentioned, you know, from the Seattle, the coach, the retired
Pete Carroll,
you know, and there's several coaches out there that do hold people accountable. And you know, but there, I don't know if there's a problem with age or whatever have you, but I'll tell you what, those are the people that you should sit down and talk to. If you're going to keep Poles and you're going to keep Warren, those are the people you want to talk to. You're necessary. You don't have to hire them, but bring them in as a consultant. Because why? Because you two guys, and I'm talking about Poles and Warren, have proved one thing. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
This is why the cycle has gone on as long as it has with no-name, first-time head coaches, because
these two guys are a joke, Andy.
Well, that's the only reason. I'm saying the only guys that would walk into this hornet's nest are guys that want to be head coaches for the first time in their lives, and they're going to get an opportunity to do so with the Chicago Bears, and they kind of look away from all the things that are going on in the background.
That's why I say Ben Johnson from the offensive coordinator, folks. I don't think he would come here. If he did, it would be totally and completely on his terms.
All right, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take more calls for you here in just a second. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois.
Hot route! Hot route!
Who brought it today? Looking at which Bear played tough, played hard.
I don't think I could have write a cooler script, you know, for myself. But obviously, that kick at home against Green Bay bothered us. You know, just how he finished that game. You know, it was a taste that was in my mouth for weeks leading up to this.
Carlos Santos there. He's the guy who brought it today. Sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. The card to bring through it all. The game-winning field goal as time expired. And the Bears get a win, breaking the 10-game losing streak overall. And the 11-game losing streak in the series against the Green Bay Packers. And it was nice to see that he got an opportunity to kind of bounce back from the block situation a couple of weeks ago, that a game that the Bears probably should have won and could have won in that game as well.
Well, and you know, I always say every day is an IQ test. And for about three quarters and seven-eighths, we didn't pass the IQ test until the very last drive. And my dear friend obviously was not impressed with the 47-yard drive to put us in position to score the winning field goal. But those are things. Think about this, folks. After a 10-game losing streak, and you're headed into the offseason of oblivion, not knowing who's going to be back, what coaches, what direction this team's going to be in, blah, blah. At least, as dysfunctional as this football team was all year long, and especially as dysfunctional as the offense was, they found a way to scratch and claw and get us in a position to win a game. And that's something you can kind of think about for the next 7-8 months.
And Caleb Williams started all 17 games behind that offensive line. It's a miracle that he was able to survive 17 games.
68 sacks, yeah. Fourth most in NFL history. Not for a rookie, anybody.
Yeah.
You know, 104 years of playing the game. I mean, he took a beating. And, yeah, there were times where he did some, you know, things that were maddening. But at some point, you got to say, he did so much good in certain situations that Ben Johnson, the number one candidate on the board, has let it be known. He wants to be here. He wants to coach Caleb Williams. However, he doesn't want to come here if Ryan Poles is the GM. Now, will the Bears suck it up and do what they did with Matt Eberflus? And they let him go. Well, will they do the same thing with Ryan Poles if it means getting the prize pony, Ben Johnson?
So the final totals on the season for Caleb Williams, 351 completions out of 562 attempts. That was a 62.5% completion rate. 3,541 yards. That ended up being number five in a single season in Bears history. It's a rookie record.
17 games. Three more than the 14-game schedule.
Good point. Good point.
Let's make
the top. The top three guys.
Do the proper numbers here.
The top three guys were 16-game schedules. So that's kind of in perspective. But he also had 20 touchdowns, which also is a rookie record. And as we mentioned, I mean, it's a miracle behind this offensive line. He lasted 17 games.
How many yards would you pass for behind this offensive line, OB?
Me? I wouldn't be passing.
You're the guy that says dumb? Throw it down the field every
I'd
three
be
words.
Handing the ball off. That's what I'll be. You think I'm that stupid? I'm going to drop back and pass with this offensive line? How dare you?
Thank you. I needed that laugh. Thank you very much.
My answer is no.
Exactly. He's not going to stand there.
How many yards would I pass for? Zero.
Zero. That's good. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. The Bears win at 24-22 over the Packers today. Let's get out to the phone lines again and go to Fishers, Indiana, and say hi to Joe. Joe, you're up on the Happen OB. Go ahead.
Thanks, guys. First, I want to wish an early happy birthday to my mom, Ginny, in Michigan City. She's got a birthday coming up on Wednesday. She listens to this show every week. She's probably listening right now, so just wanted to tell her I love her and happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
My question's about the tight end position. We've seen a lot of successful offenses getting their tight end involved early and often in the game plan this season. How would you grade the performance of the tight end position for the Bears this season, and what do you hope to see from that position going forward?
Physically and mentally, talent-wise, we have the right tight end on this team. Coaching-wise, the ability to utilize them in a passing game, zero. Zero. They do not use this kid, and he is the fire starter. You go to the 49ers, you go to all the quality teams. They're all about 6'4", 5'6", 6'6". They're in that 240, 50, 60 range, and they utilize them all four quarters. We do not utilize our tight end, and that is game after game, and you think somewhere along a 17-game schedule, somewhere, Joe, that somebody in this offense, our offensive coaches, our coordinator, our receivers coach, would figure out that we do have a quality tight end, and to get our passing going and move down the field, we got to utilize him. That has not happened.
Think about this, OB. The offense's best performance of the season, it was against the Jaguars, and Cole Kmet was the featured player. And yet, the preceding or post 11 games, they essentially, you know, ignore him. Not forget about him, they ignore him, because you could tell that in the progression of the plays that were called, he wasn't even in the top 2, 3, 4, you know, once in a blue moon. Today, he was targeted twice for a grand total of 2 catches for what?
Three yards.
Yep. His first one was for -4.
And how great was the offensive performance? By the way, let's talk and project this to Ben Johnson and what we're going to see here tonight with the Detroit Lions. And don't forget,
I'll make you a bet right now, Dan. Ben Johnson is not the head coach and will not even be offered a job. No, I'll take this. If he's offered a job, he will refuse it. I'll make you a bet.
Okay, I'll take the bet if he can have his own GM and Ryan Poles is out. I'd take that every day on Sunday.
No, you're not getting it. No. He is not going to be the offensive coordinator. He will not come here. That's what I'm betting on.
Well, my point being is, let's watch tonight. Both of these tight ends, Hockenson for the Vikings, he is going to be a big part of what Minnesota's doing. And we know that Sam Laporte will be a big part of what the Detroit Lions do in this titanic clash of 2 14-game winners that has never happened before in the history of the NFL. And part of the reason why they're great football teams with 14 wins is because they never forgot their tight end.
All right, let's get to one more before we have to get to the top of the hour break. Let's go out to the city of Chicago and welcome in John. John, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. I want to step back in the past for just a second and do a comparison, what happened in the past to what we need today. I remember years ago, I think it was the season after you won the Super Bowl, I think it was 86, it was a Packers game, and there was a late, dirty hit put on Jim McMahon that injured his shoulder. I remember distinctly after that play, the offensive line of the Packers just saw a tsunami of Bears jerseys after that. I mean, the decision was made, we're not going to stand for this. We're not going to let him hurt us. We're going to go after him. We're going to go after him with everything we got. And that's what you guys did. We don't have that today. We don't have that drive that I don't know. It's coming from the coaching. It's coming from some of the players. But it's just like, oh, well, we got to get better. Okay, make the commitment.
John, you answered your own question in saying what you did. You know who the coach was? Mike Ditka. You know who the players were? Dan Hampton. That was the quality of coaching, and that was the quality of players. That's why they were world champions. They took no quarter, gave no quarter. They just went out there and destroyed people and gave no excuses. Gave no excuses.
And by the way, that Packer was a guy by the name of Charles Martin. May his name forever live in infamy.
He picked up the quarterback and slammed him on his shoulder.
4 seconds after the play was called dead.
And that's the same guy that had the towel hanging out of his jersey with numbers on it, and he was trying to. He had a little hit list going.
Yes, he did. And again, your point about there has to be retribution. There has to be a one for all to defend each other kind of an attitude. Yeah, we don't see it here, do we? You see it on other teams, but we don't see it with this current edition of the Chicago Bears. It's like a bunch of people in it for themselves. They take themselves out of the game after two plays to start the game, meaning Montez Sweat.
What you're seeing with the quality of our coaches and then front office, it's coming from the top up there, Dan. It's in the executive part here. And that's fueling down, falling down right through the ranks all the way through. And that's what you see. That's what you see. I don't see any commitment to excellence. I don't see it.
I'll tell you one thing. If we lost three in a row or four, there'd be fist fights every day in practice. We would not stand for it. And we didn't care how good or bad.
These guys don't even practice.
They don't even care.
All right, I'll take a time out here for the news. Come back with more in just a moment. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
So one, it was obviously felt good about the two-point play we had up. It obviously wasn't successful. And also thought about, building momentum. So just made a change after we ended up not converting on the first to kick a field goal and make them prove they can beat us. Trust our defense.
Interim head coach Thomas Brown explaining why he decided to go for the extra point rather than the two-point conversion after the penalty gave them a second opportunity. We'll hear more from Thomas Brown coming up here in just a second. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. I thought that was going to be the play that was going to finish them off today. And it was going to cost them big time at the very end of this game, but it didn't, and they were able to rally and get the two-point victory.
It defies logic, and, the metrics, all this new wave of thinking about going for two here and there, what to do, go for it on fourth down, all that. It defied every and the part that is so mind-numbing is the fact that we go for it from the 2.5-yard line. We get a penalty, so now it's half as close to the defense. And then we opt to kick. And it was, again, every day is an IQ test.
It's something different, yeah.
Remember that.
All right, let's hear from interim head coach Thomas Brown after the Bears win over Green Bay.
All right, so that was fun. Injury-wise, obviously Jalen left with a quad injury. So have some more information in the next couple of days as far as the severity of that. So, like last night in the team meeting, last one of the year, one thing I emphasized to the group was obviously mentality for the day, right? But I talked about one of the greatest enemies of success is ease or the desire for things to be easy. And so embracing the difficult moments, shared one of my favorite quotes from a book called The Road Less Traveled. And so proud of those guys for the way that they battled. And obviously overcoming obstacles got very difficult towards the end. Obviously had the turnover. Defense made a great stop, forced a field goal, then ended with the 2-minute drive in a critical moment. I'd also talked about, doubt. It's one of the biggest enemies of success. And so I want to continue to express how much I believed in a group, but I want them to believe in themselves and walk into this arena, this atmosphere that we haven't won in a very long time. And capitalize, right, in the right way. So when our last game together to be about first. All right, so the first time we won a game in 10 games. First time we beat these cats in 11 tries. The first win in 2025. So a lot of lot to play for in this last game. And so I'm proud of those guys, the way they capitalize and finish. Also, even more so on Virginia McCaskey's birthday, right, to be able to get a win, which is a huge deal. And also, end of the game, there were some ups and downs, but Caleb Williams, who we've had some extremely intense conversations over the last days, weeks. But the belief never wavered. And having a chance at the end to make a critical play, make a critical check, but also be calm and collective to get us into a down clock situation. And then you think about the first game, how the first game ended at our place against Green Bay. And no better feeling than Cairo having a chance to come on the field. Great job by our field goal team to protect. It was perfect execution, drilled it, right, game over. Questions?
Thomas, on the final completion, obviously you got the stack to the right. Caleb makes the decision to go left. What's your thought process and what you saw, how he executed that ball?
So big kudos to him. So the design of the play was an out-of-bounds play where the ball will be thrown to the right. Obviously, we had the exact same play called the play before. They called timeout, which is what they call a Kodak scenario to try to take a picture of what we're doing and have a different defensive look. The previous snap, they were pressing DJ in the boundary, so I told them, hey, if they press DJ again, give him a go ball, let it ride, go end the game with a touchdown to DJ. They obviously changed the defensive look, and he himself communicated to DJ to what we call a Sharpie, a five-step slant. And so he made that adjustment, made a perfect, obviously DJ obviously won immediately, but a perfect adjustment by him to get us in the field goal range. Like I said, executed down clock and game over.
Are you right on the cusp there of how much time you need to get that thing clocked?
Yeah, it's probably about as close as you can get. But I think it's an understanding of the voids in the defense, the area of the field, but also we still have plenty of time to be able to execute a down clock scenario.
What was your thought process on the two-point conversion sequence where you guys lined up, you went for it, then the penalty, and then you get even closer, but then don't go for it.
Yeah, so one, it was obviously felt good about the two-point play we had up. It obviously didn't wasn't successful. But also thought about, you know, building momentum. So just made a change after we ended up not converting in the first and kick a field goal and make them prove they come beat us. Trust our defense.
What necessitated? You said you had intense conversations with Caleb Williams. Why was that necessary, or what was some of the substance?
Well, I've said all along, I think when it comes to creating change, conflict is necessary. And so it's been good dialogues between us. So it's not like we've been fighting every single day. But I think understanding what it takes for him to be successful, to be at his best, was always my goal. And so to issue challenges, to always do a really good job coaching, critiquing, and I think understanding for him, which he plays the most difficult position in this game, right, by far and away. He's a rookie quarterback in his league. But the understanding of him as a leader and the way that he communicates, the way he carries himself, the body language he displays, it affects the entire team. But also our offense can't go if he's not going.
The spirit you're saying, it wasn't an argument, it wasn't anything bad, but was it back and forth? Was it you saying something, Caleb saying something, or was it directives from you?
Yeah, it's not much back and forth. It's more just my communication. I might ask a question here and there. But I think he's been extremely receptive as far as the communication goes. So it's a little bit less back and forth and more just the understanding, asking questions if a question comes up.
They're using Keenan in the two gadget plays, the two-point conversion that you guys didn't end up doing, and then the interception that he threw.
Pick and throw. Both of us involved throws. So you guess might be better, pick and throw. Than him. He's thrown touchdown passes before. And also we had some time on task before with some of those plays. So that play, the two-point play, was up for probably 5 weeks already. We just had some other two-point plays we called and other times before that. And so it was kind of just the order of how it went. Felt good about the opportunity when we crossed the 50 to have that double move and kind of double reverse pass using DJ. And this year was the decoy and obviously reverse pass to Keenan. So didn't work out, but I called again.
All right, the thoughts there of the interim head coach, Thomas Brown. Interesting. A lot of talk.
Do you remember the dating game?
When yes.
The chick would have all the great answers, a beautiful voice, and you go around and it ain't nothing to look. Mm-hmm. Well, this guy can do all the talking.
He does a lot of talking.
But the proof is in the actual implementation of quality offensive plays and play calling. And he's awful, awful at that. It defies logic.
Yeah, and the whole thing with the biggest detriment to success is ease. And I don't know if that's something you want to talk to a team about before they're going into the final game of the season.
Where is their ease in football?
Yeah, or this season?
Where is the ease? You ease into a block. You ease into a tackle. You ease into a difficult pass thrown behind you. You ease yourself If you're a quarterback trying to get out of being sacked, you ease yourself, an offensive lineman, you ease into blocking a defensive lineman. What the hell is he talking about? Ease?
Yeah, I don't get it. It just didn't seem like the message that, you know, before a final game, especially against a rival, and you're trying to break a 10-game losing streak.
I think he was talking about the concept of success.
Gotcha.
Well, everybody wants it to kind of be easy. They don't want to really have to get down and break their back, and they think that, you know, they can ease.
That's how you win, breaking your back.
Well, but evidently, you know, this is a concept that he's trying to convey to the team that, it to me, looks like they've taken the easy way out every option.
All right, well, the Bears win it today 24-22, snapping a 10-game losing streak overall, an 11-game losing streak to the Packers. Last time the Bears beat the Packers was 2018, and that was Matt LaFleur's first loss in 12 tries against the Bears. Think about that.
And again, folks, for those of you that really detest the Green Bay Packers like I do, guess what? They don't get to play the Rams or Tampa Bay or some other slapstick. They got to go to Philadelphia. Philadelphia, they're going to bring it for them. They're going to be laying the wood on the Packers.
All right, a final timeout. We'll come back and wrap things up for this season on Happen OB.
One thing quickly here before we go. I often wonder why can't somebody ask him, the head coach, I'm talking about Brown, and Eberflus before, why is it that in the first quarter we can't score? In the second quarter, we can't score. We can't convert on third down. There's game after game that happened every game this year, and nobody ever asked these head coaches or our coordinators, nobody ever asked them these questions. How can you not convert on third down? How can you not throw the ball into the end zone? How can you not score points in the first quarter and in the second quarter all year long? Nobody can ask that question, Andy.
I'm not up there, so I have no idea, to be honest with you. But I haven't heard a lot of them. Let's put it to you that way. I haven't heard a lot of the questions that
those
have been asked.
Those are the questions that should be asked.
Yeah.
And those hold them to an answer.
All right. Well,
ease.
Yeah. The answers are very elusive this year for the Bears in a lot of aspects. So,
why can't they ease into that question?
Yeah, they like to ease into that question. Try to answer it with ease. I don't think you're going to be able to do that.
I like to ease them out of time. That's all.
All right, we'll get to our final timeout here and come back and wrap things up for the season here. Happen OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Sky's the limit, and probably more than the sky. So we got to find ways to, like I said, get the right people here, you know, from there, grow, build the culture. And this is just a stepping stone. Like I said, you know, the first win of 2025, we got a lot more to come. The Bears.
Caleb Williams, after the win today, Happen OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur alongside the guys as we get ready to wrap up the season. I told you guys in the break, I said as bad as the season was, it went very fast, and these shows seem to go very fast as well.
As far as Caleb Williams, what I have to say about him after this season, okay, and I said it before, this kid, he talks too much. And Caleb, you got to let your actions on that field do your talking for you. You're the only one that can take this team to that next level. Again, let your actions on that field do your talking for you. That's when you'll get respect. You will earn respect. That's how you get it. Not by blowing your mouth off, but by going out there, converting on third down, scoring points, and winning football games. It's not about your mouth. It's about your actions on that field. It's enough already with you.
You know, and I think a wise man once said, better done than said. And we all agree, OB, you know, it's a new era. Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got, you know, this and that going. And obviously he's been, you know, very gracious about his time and
he's been given
things.
Everything, Dan, and he, as far as I'm concerned this year, he has not earned it. He has not earned it. That's what I see.
Well, what he did in college earned him the position in the draft. Now, as we move forward, he will have to earn it. And obviously you have a much lower level of appreciation for what he was able to do this year.
Yeah, the other three quarterbacks that were taken of the four, they all three of them have outplayed him this year. Outplayed him.
Yep. You can make a case that, you know, we watched Bo Nix put up 30-something today against the Chiefs. Jaden Daniels is a Pro Bowler. Drake May.
He came in here and
they won
and
five
killed
games.
Us.
Yeah, yeah. They came head-to-head matchup. He won.
Yes.
All that being said, it only illustrates, in my mind, it only illustrates the inequity of coaching and offensive line. So if we have the proper, you know, decisions that we can make about how to address both of those areas, I think you're going to be very, very pleased with what we see with Caleb Williams moving forward. But back to what you were saying, I know a guy that talks this much, you would think they were winning some games, that he was putting up, you know, quarterback ratings that were
his mouth rambles,
impressive.
Dan, but there's no backup for it. That's how I see it.
Yeah, and again, that is the what would you say, the Rubik's cube. How are you going to deal with this kid the next 10 years? You need to find the right coaching situation, the right staff, the right, you know, coordinator to maximize his attributes and minimize things that you think he does poorly.
And that's where the big if comes in, big man. That's where the big if comes in. I'd just like to say this before we go, Dan. It's a pleasure. We've been together, Hamp, well, 40-some years. But, I mean, I'm doing the show, what now, 7 years, 8 years, whatever it's been. And, Andy, what can I say about you? You're the best. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
For you to sit here and listen to me fly off the handle.
Rant.
And rant, rave, and every other thing. And you stand in there, and you've got all your facts and figures and all your backup work. You do a phenomenal job. And behind the glass, those three guys, Sam, Eli, and Jack, they're the best. They're not second best. They're not very good. They're the best.
Yeah, boys.
You want to go to war, you go to war with Sam, Eli, and Jack. They stand behind you. They give us all the information, and they get it to us now. Not later, get it to us now. And again, Andy, with you, you've done a magnificent job here handling Dan and I and running the show. So I couldn't be prouder to be with Hamp all these years, Andy, and the three guys behind the glass, Jack, Eli, and Sam. Great job. Love you guys.
What
and
about
have
the
a
listener?
Healthy, healthy, healthy 25.
What about the listeners, OB?
I mean, God.
They have been phenomenal.
Our listeners, you talk about loyal, and but when they don't see anything they don't like, they let me know and they let you know. And we cannot thank you people enough, and I know Dan's going to say something here also, but I'll tell you what, cannot thank you enough for staying with us game after game, month after month, week after week, year after year. It's so much, very much appreciated. I tell you, I know damn well, Dan and myself and Andy, I give everything that I have, every ounce of knowledge, every ounce of belief about the game of football, we try to give to you. And I sometimes I get a little bit too overly aggressive, overly aggressive, and I try to tell myself, try to talk like a normal human being. And soon as that red light goes on, bam, there's an explosion.
All bets are off.
But anyways, to all you listeners, thank you so much. And have a great and wonderful, but more important, a healthy 25 to you all. Again, thank you for listening. Big man?
Well, I just echo exactly what you said. Thanks to the guys behind the glass. Thank you, Andy. You know, I will tell you this. Of all the seasons that I've been doing pre- and post-games, this has been probably the most arduous, because so many simple things that were so self-evident, and nobody, was able to grasp it, and yet we've had this insane losing streak, and then finally today, coming out of the fog, finding a way to win. Let's hope that it, you know, portends to be a great start for the year 2025.
Well, gentlemen, wrapping up season three for me, and I can't tell you how fun it is for me to be around you guys and watch the football games every week. I have learned a lot about the game of football. I thought I knew some stuff before I started with you guys, and I was wrong because there's some things that I watch a game for a little differently than I used to watch a game.
Well,
and,
good.
And I appreciate you guys very much. Of course, I like the sentiments of the guys behind the glass, and I'll add our great engineering staff, Krista and Brett and Dan Long, who have been with us throughout the season as well. We wouldn't be able to get on the air without those guys.
Absolutely. So.